Let's turn to God's Word. I just want to read one verse. It's found in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And the verse is number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. You'll know it off by heart, I'm sure. The verse says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful verse, known to many. There seems to be a multitude of television programs about antiques. You can pick from the antiques road trip, or flog it, or bargain hunt, or Dickinson's real deal. And either you love them or you hate them. Maybe it's an age thing, but I enjoy them. If I'm about and having a cup of tea and so on, I will watch them. Trying to guess the value. Trying to trace its history. Trying to imagine maybe how it was used in days gone by. Sometimes the item can be a window to see a bygone era. And sometimes when it comes to the auction, the things are sold for a lot less than what the experts think that they are worth. Or sometimes it works the other way and they sell for far more than what the expert thinks that they're worth. And we find that antiques are certainly a high risk and speculative business. And I was thinking of antiques as I prepared my message for tonight. And what I want to do is present to you an item. And I want to explain it to you. And then I want you to assess its value. I want you to try and calculate how valuable it is. The item that I want to bring to your attention is God's salvation. It is very ancient. It has been purposed in the heart of God since before the world began. There's nothing older than the plan of God in redemption. It is as old, it is older than earth itself. But how valuable is it? You see, some people look at this item and they say immediately, it is of no value. I have no desire for it. It doesn't fit into my lifestyle. I do not understand its value or beauty. I wouldn't give it house room. And if you mention it, they get quite angry. Other people will look at God's salvation and they will assess it and look at it, and they will say, well, now, I know it's valuable, and I can see that it's precious, but now it wouldn't be my taste. It wouldn't be my desire. It's too old-fashioned for me. It's too limiting for me. It's too restricting for me. I'll let others enjoy it. It's not for me. And yet other people will look at this item of God's salvation and they will take it and they will hold it and they will embrace it and they will say, oh, this is wonderful. This is just what I need. This is what I've been searching for all my life. I must have it. I must have it. In the antique programs, the experts explain the background and the age and the rarity of the piece. And tonight, I must make it clear, I am not claiming to be an expert, either in antiques, of which I have none, or even when it comes to God's salvation, I don't claim to be an expert. But what I want to try and do is explain it to you, and then ask you to value it. You see, as I thought about this item, I realize there's an awful lot of nonsense that's spoken about God's salvation. Some people look at it and say, well, you know, God's salvation is doing your best. Others will look at it and say, well, now, God's salvation is being very religious. Others will look at it and say, well, you know, salvation is believing in God. And yet others will say, well, now, being saved, God's salvation is being sincere. And God reads the heart. And when you hear those things being said, I want to tell you, they are very poor experts. Because that doesn't describe what salvation is or what a Christian is at all. The devil believes in God, but he's not a Christian. He doesn't have God's salvation. God's salvation is dynamic. God's salvation is revolutionary. God's salvation is real and relevant and provides a remedy to the universal trauma of sin. And tonight, God has brought me by the Spirit of God to Galatians 2:20. And I want to let you see salvation from four perspectives in this verse. And then I will ask for your valuation. First of all, I want you to notice the transition. Says Paul in this verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And Paul immediately is talking about a transition, a dramatic and profound change. I am crucified, yet I live. You couldn't get a more profound change than that. God's salvation is something that brings about a marked and powerful, tangible, intense alteration in a person's life. Paul says, I was dead, now I live. Whenever Peter was writing, he was writing to the saints scattered about, mostly around Turkey today, those nations just south of the Black Sea, on the edge of the Mediterranean. And he says to them, God hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's describing this very same thing, this transition, this change that comes about. Paul says, it's deadness to life. Peter says, no, it's darkness to light. Paul, writing to the church at Rome in chapter 8, he says, you have been brought from condemnation into justification. Those are big words. But he's talking about this remarkable change. The Lord Jesus, speaking in John chapter 5, says, he that believeth hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's a transition. Dear friend, I want to tell you, this gospel that we preach, this salvation that we declare, tells of an amazing transition from deadness to life, from darkness to light, from being condemned to being free. You can't get any more dramatic than that. And that's the salvation that we preach. It is able to take you from deadness to life, from darkness to light, and from condemnation to absolute freedom. What value would you put in that? If you were able to take somebody from deadness to life, able to take somebody from darkness to light, able to take somebody from a courtroom where they're condemned to being free. It's dynamic. That's the gospel. What value would you put on that? Salvation always brings a dramatic change. Jesus Christ died at Calvary in payment for sin. And when you embrace him by belief and trust, it's like a spiritual explosion in your soul. And you have this transition from deadness to life, from darkness to light, from condemnation to freedom is amazing. Rufus McDaniel was an American preacher from Ohio. He wrote a hymn, I think it was about 1914. He wrote over 100 hymns. But the hymn that he wrote in 1914, you know so well. He wrote, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. There is light in my soul which so long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart." Aspect number one of God's salvation, there is a remarkable transition. To someone, "Pastor, I was saved when I was 5. I was from a Christian home. I hadn't got into the world. I hadn't done many things bad. It wasn't that dramatic for me." Well, that might be how it looks from the outside. But as God looks in, every time a person is saved, there is this dramatic transition. And even for someone who brought up in a Christian home and they get saved when they're young, there is an inner joy and peace. There is a growing desire to live for God. There's a development of spiritual fruit. And as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So what you have to do tonight, as we are assessing the value, you have to add up what value is it to be able to bring someone from deadness to life, from darkness to light, and from judgment to freedom. Are you calculating it? Okay, let's look at another one. This time it's not transition, this time it's transfusion. You know about blood transfusion. They say that the human adult has between 8 and 12 pints of blood in your body. It carries oxygen and nutrients and removes waste, metabolic waste, and does all kinds of amazing things, the blood. I don't understand it. But here, listen to Galatians 2 and 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." That's transition. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." That's transfusion. God comes and lives inside the child of God. This is a glorious mystery. No longer is Jesus an external historical figure. Not something you just read about in the pages of the Bible. No, whenever you know God's salvation, God becomes an internal Savior and friend. Our bodies become His residence. Whenever I was a teenager, sitting in Ebenezer Gospel Hall, and I could see of sitting about 6 rows from the front, God took up residence in my life. There was a transfusion. Not amazing? What value would you put in that? That the God of heaven, who made it all, who spoke the worlds and the planets into existence, who controls all things by the word of His power, yet He lives in my heart. Isn't that amazing? Money wouldn't buy it. And no matter what I face tomorrow, He'll be with me. No matter what news I get on the phone, He's with me. No matter what happens in my family and in my fellowship, no matter what happens in the crisis that come, He's with me. What value would you put on that? I say, this is valuable. I say, you understand from Galatians 2 the difference between religion and salvation, don't you? You see, salvation is different. Religion, you come to think about God and sing about God, and then you come home exactly the same way you came. You've had a wee religious experience. And you enjoy singing the hymns, and you enjoy being with other believers, and you think about God and sing about Him, and then go home. That's not salvation. Salvation is a transition, a profound alteration. Sin is removed, forgiveness is imparted, and you move from deadness to life, from darkness to light, and from condemnation to freedom. And also, at the one and the same time, there's a transfusion. He comes and lives in the heart. Wonderful. He walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What value do you put on the love and the mercy and the grace of God? What value do you put on this amazing salvation that brings transition and amazingly also brings transfusion? Let me add another one into the list, and it's transmission. Says someone, Pastor, not another big word. I can understand transition, change, that remarkable change from deadness to life and darkness to light. Understand that one. Understand transfusion, like a blood transfusion. God comes and takes up residence inside. I understand that. But what do you mean by transmission? Whenever you say transmission, I think of a television channel transmitting a signal to be picked up. That's it. Exactly. Transmission. You see, when you have salvation, you become a transmitter to transmit his love to others. Listen to it. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's the transition. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the transfusion. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the transmission. We live a new kind of life. When you become a Christian, when you embrace God's salvation, you become a beacon that transmits Christ to this world. That's amazing. We beam his light into darkness. We beam his love into bitterness. We beam his peace into chaos. And in every given situation, should it be in a marriage or in a home, or whether it be in politics or whether it be in business, we bring a peace and a joy and a calm because we have Christ. And we transmit that to others. This is powerful. The influence that we have in society for the better. Just as our finger leaves a print on anything that we touch, so we leave a spiritual fingerprint behind us. We saw in Psalm 23 when we were studying it, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we saw that you could read it, goodness and mercy shall follow in my wake. As we go through life, we should leave goodness and mercy behind us. We should leave a deep impression for God. A holy life should speak volumes. I came across a poem in my mum's Bible, and it summarizes it better than I could. Let me read it to you, just a few lines. It says this, "For me, 'twas not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me so dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead." How lovely. Let me read it again. It says, "For me 'twas not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me so dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead." We transmit the love of Christ to others. You remember the story about the wee boy who attended a church where they had lovely stained glass windows, and he used to look at the pictures in the windows, different apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. Someone said to him one day, "What is a saint?" And he remembered St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, St. Paul. And he said, "A saint is someone who lets the light shine through." That's a Christian, isn't it? What value would you put on that? For a life to be changed, a life to be filled with Christ, and a life that transmits God's love to this broken, sinful, needy world. If ever this world needs the gospel, it's now. What value on a life transformed, and it becomes a beacon, it becomes an influence for Christ. Let me give you another one. We have looked at transition, the change from deadness to life, from darkness to light. Transfusion, Christ lives in me. What an amazing, what a precious thing. And then transmission. We become a conduit. We become a channel to bless others and bless our society and bless our world. You couldn't put a value in that. Oh, but there's another one. We'll have to go back a wee bit for it. And that's translation. Translation is to express something in a new way or a new language. And it says in verse 19 at the end of the verse, that I might live unto God. That's a new translation, isn't it? You wouldn't have liked to have known the old Lawrence Kennedy. But there's been a transition, and there's been a transfusion, and there's been a transmission, and there's been a translation, and now I seek that I might live unto God. Why do you think God gives us this wonderful salvation? You see, some people will say, well, it's so we escape from hell and God's judgment. And I suppose there's truth in that. It does that. Of course it does. But that's not his primary concern. Some others will say, well, salvation is so that the door opens to heaven and the paradise of God. And we will get into heaven one day. Yes, that's absolutely true as well. But it's not his primary concern. No. Those are wonderful byproducts. We are free from judgment and hell. Wonderful. We're bound for heaven. That's fantastic. But it's a byproduct. You know what his goal is? That you might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why. He wants to change you. He wants to have a transition and a transfusion and a transmission and a translation so that you become like Jesus Christ. God's number one purpose is translation, that we might be translated and conformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's his number one goal. That's his number one ambition. So that's salvation. Transition, an incredible change from death to life, from darkness to light, from judgment to freedom. I don't know about you, but that's worth more than all this world could offer me. But it's also transfusion, the indwelling Christ. And as I stand before you as a sinner saved by grace, there is within me divinity. There is within me a wee bit of heaven. There is within me a divine personage.
Isn't that amazing? Money wouldn't buy it. Ah, but there's more. There is a transmission. God uses His people as little beacons of light, little beacons of truth to shine out into the darkness. And in Ballymena, there should be a light going out from this fellowship, out into the darkness. But then fourthly, there's translation. We are to imitate Christ so that the world looks on and sees a wee glimpse of what Jesus would be like if He was here. Oh dear, don't be looking at me, sure you won't. There's still a lot of work to do in me. But oh, what a wonderful, precious potential that people could look at your life and mine and say, well, if Jesus was alive today, then we'd look a wee bit like that. This item is ancient. It's from before time. This item is absolutely unique. There is nothing else like it in the world. This item is effective. It does exactly what it says. It does save the soul from judgment and hell and the lake of fire. It does open the door to heaven. It is powerful because no matter what you've done in your past, no matter about the sin in your life, He is powerful enough to change it. And it's available to me. If I was an auctioneer, how much should I ask for it? It would be worth it if I said, just give me everything you've got. And I'll give it, and it'll be a bargain for you. Wouldn't it? Because to have God's salvation is everything. But God says, no, the price has been paid in full. And all you have to do tonight is turn away from your sin. The Bible calls it repentance. You turn away with revulsion from your sin because you realize that it makes you unworthy for God. You turn away from your sin and you say, when Jesus died on the cross, I believe with all my heart He was dying for me, taking my place, and I'm trusting in it. I'm resting on that finished work. I'm resting on that blood that was shed. I'm resting on the fact that He died, an atoning, substitutionary death for me. I'm trusting in that. And the moment you do, there is a transition, and there is a transfusion, and there is a transmission, and there is a translation, and it's free to all who come. Money can't buy such a gift. It's offered free and without reserve to all who come. And tonight in our service, you can repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And this priceless, powerful, precious gift is yours to keep. It's yours to keep. For all eternity. Will you come tonight? Will you be one of the ones who'll say, Pastor, not only is that precious, not only is that valuable, but I need it. I need it. I need it tonight. You can have it tonight if you repent and trust. If I can help you do that, let me do it, would you? And I'll be able to point you to the Baptist, not at all. The preacher, no. Point you to the one who died. Point you to the one who took your place. Point you to the one who shed His blood. And point you to the one who calls you to Himself. May God help you to come.